Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for your presence. You had said to us that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are there. Now softly, can we just lift our hands up to heaven and just say something beautiful to the Father in a few seconds as we sit down? Make sure you say one thing that is so beautiful to Him on the strength of all that He has been and all that He has been doing for you. Your hands up to heaven everywhere. David said, as we lift our hands, it is as the evening sacrifice. We love you, Father, above all things. We love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Go ahead and thank Him for a moment. Thank Him from the depth of your heart. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' gracious name. Bless you seated. Hallelujah. Today is a unique Sunday because of the showers of blessing. And it restricted a lot of people, it limited a lot of people from what I'm saying to making it to church. Hallelujah to Jesus. So let's get into the word. Amen. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground. Alright, so very fast, we'll start Matthew 16, very popular part of scripture. I like to quote, you've been here, you would have observed that already. So we'll read together as a church. Maybe we'll start from where Jesus asked the question, from verse 15. So Jesus is the one speaking now. He said, the Bible says, He said to them, so let's read together. Where to go? He said to them, and so Jesus is asking a question, right? Next part of scripture, everybody read together, want to go. Simon Peter answered and he said, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next part of scripture, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. Next part of scripture. And I also say that you are. And the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. That's not the only implication. Let's see the next one. Want to go? Powerful. Jesus asked the question, who do you think that I am? Please listen attentively. It's just like Simon coming to ask a question. Now, who do you think that I am? So, one thing comes to mind. You'll be wondering, has he been lying to us all these years? Who do you think that I am? That means there should be more to Simon. If Simon is asking, who do you think that I am? And of course, that was the case of Jesus. Then Peter, having an idea, an expo of the answer, He said, you are the Christ. And of course, you know where he got that idea from. On the Mount of what? Transfiguration. Remember that night where God spoke that beside Jesus was Moses and beside him was what? Elijah. And he was the only one not sleeping, remember? And the Bible said from that night he got that answer. He said, you are the Christos, the Son of the living God. Now that was the true identity of Jesus. Listen carefully. Although Jesus has been walking on the earth with the name Jesus, his true identity that will help him fulfill the purpose for which he came to humanity was Christ. Are we together? And that's why the Bible will say many times in the writings of Paul the Apostle, it was that Jesus Christ, which simply means in English, Jesus the Christ. So the true identity of Jesus is who? The Christ. And if you are just limited with your understanding of Jesus as a man, you will not truly understand salvation. Alright? Now, follow me carefully. It sounds ambiguous, but it's very true. Let's see 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. We'll come back here. Let's read together. Everyone, want to go? So from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view, according to worldly standards and values. Though we have known Christ from a human point of view, now we no longer know him in this way. You see that? Carefully. That simply means there was a time that Jesus was known from what? A human point of view. Are you understanding me? Can we see it in the TPT? The TPT rendition. It says, so then, from now on, we have a new perspective that refuses to evaluate people merely by their outward appearances. For that's how we once viewed the anointed one, that's Jesus. But no longer do we see him with limited human insight. Now, there was a time that Jesus was seen from a physical point of view alone. And that's what he was trying to kill when he asked the 12, who do you think that I am? Because all they knew about Jesus was his humanity. And that will not save them. That cannot help them. Are we together? And that's why he asked the question, who do you think that I am? Now, if you observe something here, they didn't just talk about Jesus. They talk about humanity. Are we together? They are like, now give me the amplifier, that we don't evaluate human beings from henceforth from a human point of view. You know why? Because you see, Jesus is the definition of our being. Are we together? He determines the state of our being at any time. While Jesus was seen from a human point of view, it affected how humanity should be seen. Now that he's seated together at the Father's right, that he's seated at the Father's right hand, it has now also impacted how humanity should be seen. Because the Bible says, in him we live, breathe, and what? Have our being. He's a definition of our humanity. That's why you see Paul here, the apostle, not just saying we should not see Jesus from a human point of view. He's saying that affects also how we see human beings. So why people were seeing Jesus as just the man Jesus on the earth, it affected their humanity too, their nature. It impacted it. Are we together? So more like they were limited. As long as they saw Jesus as a man, they were limited. And that's why he said, who do you think that I am? And now that he's known as the Christ, there's also an impact on the human spirit. Are you listening to me? Very important. So many people who don't understand the revelation of Jesus, when we say the revelation here, we mean the unraveling. When you unravel something, what do you see? If you don't understand the revelation of Jesus as the Christ, you'll be limited in your Christianity, in your walk with God. And the only thing you have in your Christianity is mere religion. Are we together? Are you not aware of people who go to church and still do anything that comes to their mind? I mean, anytime Satan stirs them up to do something crazy, they get to do it. Why? They don't understand the person of Jesus. I mean, some people have shouted Jesus. Now, I was talking with pastors one time. I said, do you think everybody that died via accident did not call the name of Jesus? Huh? Maybe you called and you thought your own worked. There were some people that said Jesus before they died in an accident. I was teaching them that it is not the pronunciation of the name Jesus that gets people saved. It is not the pronunciation. Are you listening to me? Listen to me very, very carefully. You see, what you get out of Christianity is up to you. It's not up to God. What you get, I'll say it again, out of Christianity is up to you. It's not up to God. Now, Jesus said it is finished. It was truly finished. He did everything for humanity on the cross. Alright? Anything that will happen to you right now is not a function of God Almighty. Listen carefully. That doesn't mean he's not God. It's a function of your faith. The Bible says the victory that's overcome the world is our faith. That's 1 John, I guess, 5. It said the victory that's overcome the world is our faith. Can we see that part of scripture briefly in media? Alright, 5:4. But let's start seeing it from verse 1. So that you see how that Paul, John, the apostle traveled to verse 4. Now, see what he said in verse 1. Everyone, alright, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Next part of scripture. It then says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and what? Keep his commandment. Next part of scripture. It then says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment. Then he said, his commandment are not what? Burdensome. Can I have this in the Amplified edition? And I want everybody to read. For the true love of God is this, that we what? And what? Now see something striking it says at the next part of scripture. Let's read together. I want to go. And his commandment. No. Same part of scripture. And his what? Commandments and his precepts are not. Then your neighbor said, Bible said they are not difficult to obey. Sounds unbelievable, isn't it? How many of you think that Christianity is quite hard? I wish I haven't asked the question before we read this. But to be sincere, how many of you have found out that Christianity is quite difficult? Living for God is quite difficult. Nobody? Is it easy? Alright. Let's be quite realistic. If you think Christianity is quite difficult, wave your hands. How many of you have gone through things that made you cry? Why are you people not being sincere in church this morning? Have you gone through difficult seasons in your life? Have you ever cried in any season? So why did you not raise your hand? You were shy? That if you raise your hand, we would think you are a womanizer. It is quite difficult. But here is God telling us it's not difficult. The problem is, God, are you kidding us? While we be saying something different from God? Maybe God should come and stay on the earth and leave this Christianity. Let him understand why it's difficult. You know? Maybe he's just in the heaven and there's no temptation in heaven. He doesn't understand. Isn't it? Some people are saying yes. You have my to say yes. you see, the Bible says we don't have a savior who is what? Ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity. You know what that means? That when Jesus came to the earth, all this temptation you are feeling, he felt it. See, Pastor, I don't want to mention one temptation. Are you sure Jesus felt all the temptation? All. See, any crazy temptation in your head now, Jesus, it came knocking at the heart of Jesus. Pastor Simon, I don't want to go deep. Let's just forget some things. I want to say some things. I know what you want to say. Beautiful women like Jesus. Very beautiful ones. And we never heard any scandal. Did you people suspect any scandal? And some say, why would Jesus allow that man to be rubbing his leg? The Bible did not say she rubbed his leg. The Bible said she poured what? Oil. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah to Jesus. And the Bible never said Jesus smiled and said, I like the way you rub my leg. The Bible never said that. You know, I had a crazy fellow many years ago on campus. He said, why did Jesus not tell her to stop? I think he was wrong that day. Hallelujah to Jesus. And the Bible said, but he never succumbed to any of the trials nor temptation. We do not have a Savior who is what? Ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity. Infirmity there means weaknesses. Yet he overcame every iota of temptation that should have led to sin. He came, now don't think he came with supernatural powers and he was not living from, no, the Bible said in Hebrews 10 and 5, he said, Jesus was speaking, he said, a body had thou prepared for me. He came in the body, in the body of sin, our sinful nature. And yet the Bible said he overcame Satan. He overcame every trial. You know, when we say these things, some people don't get to believe us so much. They say, Jesus came with some otumokpo. That's why. No. He came in the nature of sinful man. Are you listening to me? That doesn't mean he's not God. You know, he had to die as us so that he can save us. He had to die as us. When Adam disobeyed God and fell, Jesus came according to that fallen nature. First, at the end, of course, he defeated that nature on the cross. See what the Bible said in Romans 6 and 6, for instance. Let's read that very fast in the Amplified rendition. One to go. We know that our old self, our human nature without the Holy Spirit, was what? Nailed to the cross. In order that our body of sin might be done away with. You see that? So that we will no longer be slaves to sin. How beautiful. That means that body of sin, Jesus, when he was hung on that tree, he gave that body back to wherever it came from. He destroyed the body. So if he didn't have the body, how will he destroy the body on the cross? It was because he took in his very self that same body. Are you getting what I'm trying to say to you? Very important. You see, we live by faith as Christians, not by sight. You must understand that that body has been done away with according to the scriptures. Are you listening to me? If you don't believe that that body of sin has been done away with, you will keep on living in sin. This is where God stood from. Now, do you remember what he just said in 1 John 4, 5 and 3 that we just read? That his commandments are not what? Difficult to obey. Are you now understanding why he said that? For somebody to do this, he cannot say it is difficult to obey. He has removed every wall of limitation. And that's why he's telling you and I that living for me is not difficult. But if you don't understand this, if you are not aware of this revelation, you will think living for God is what? Difficult. It is only natural for goats to eat grass. It is only natural for lions to eat flesh. Do you understand that Christianity is your nature? I mean, you have the God's nature on your inside. You are not trying to live for God from your old nature. Your old nature has been destroyed. You've got a new nature. Let's see it in 2 Peter 1 about this new nature. 2 Peter 1 in the Amplified rendition. It said, for by these he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of his inexpressible value, so that by them you may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world because of disreputable desire and become sharers. Become what? Sharers. Give me this in the literal amplified version. I mean, NKJV. Just NKJV. It said, by which has been given to us exceedingly and great and precious promises, that through these you may be what? Partakers of his divine nature. Do you believe you are a partaker of his divine nature? That's what the Bible is saying. Having what? Escaped. You are not going to be going to escape. According to the Bible, there is ED at the end there, that you have escaped. So you see yourself as the escaped, not the one trying to be escape. How many of you are born again in this place? You believe in Jesus. The Bible said you have what? Escaped. See, is it Christianity is just about knowledge? Are you listening to me? It's just about knowledge. He said, my people, is very powerful. My people perish for what? If you don't have this knowledge, you become a tool in the hand of the devil. He will use you anyhow he feels like using you. And I was talking to some fellow somewhere at a ministry here in town. And we're trying to do our plan for church building. We're trying to check the designs. And he said something to me. He said, "Pastor, I want to bring something to your notice because of, I'm sure you would have seen the video on the internet." And truly, I'd seen posts in that manner, that a certain celebrity who is secular singer said it is not possible for a man to be with one woman, that it is only natural for a man to have many women, or maybe he has one wife but he can move around with many women, you know, sleep around. He said, "What do you have to say about that?" Now, he already has everything he wants to tell me, but he wants to hear me before he crucifies me. Now, before I started talking, he said, "Wait, remember Solomon had plenty women and he was God's person." I now laughed. Now, do you know that it was women that killed Solomon? Huh? Do you know? When you are saying Solomon had plenty women, also understand that it was women that killed him. The Bible says Solomon left God at the end and started worshipping some of his wife's God, this small G God. Solomon left Almighty God that gave him wealth. He started worshipping gods. Like Solomon left God Almighty, he started worshipping a molded God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? See what women did to Solomon. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
A woman made Solomon to leave his God that he struck a deal with and became a billionaire. Are you listening to me? And he started worshipping all other gods. One of my friends will say, if you like, let them be waiting for somebody to teach you that you should be scared of women. They called him a wise man, isn't it? He still worshipped all other gods. You see this song we sing? All other gods, they are the work of Solomon, worship them. At the end of his life. Now, I just said that to him passively. Then I continued telling him. I said, "Do you understand that you are God's image and likeness?" He said, "Pastor, we used to hear that a long time ago. But you see, this life, there are some things that are just natural." I said, "What made you to discover that man is a versatile?" You know, there's a way they say man, a polygamous being. Man is polygamous in nature. I said, "Who taught you that?" He said, "No, it's just the discovery now. We just discovered that we cannot be one woman." I said, "No, that's Satan in motion through you. Don't allow what Satan is doing become your nature." The Bible said, bringing every thought, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. It said, subjecting every thought that seems to raise itself. Give me verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10. It said, subjecting every thought that seems to what? Casting down argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Satan will always bring an idea. Hey, that lady, follow her. Hey, that guy, follow him. What do? You subject them. You have the power to subject them. It was Paul that said, "Now I can do what? All things. Not some things." Are you in this church, this wonderful body? "All things through Christ who strengthens me. Not some things. I can do everything." You need to understand the glorious power on your inside. "Unto him who can do exceedingly abundantly above," Ephesians 3 verse 20. "Unto him that can do exceedingly abundantly above all you have ever thought or imagined, according to his great power." Where is that power? At work in us. Look at the deposit of God's glory on your inside. It cannot be cheapened to you, womanizing or manizing, because it's both ways. So when I got to explain this to him, he was just, he couldn't contain it. I said, "You were not aware. That is why you think it's only normal to misbehave. You were not aware. You were not informed." He said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." You didn't know. That's why he thought you were polygamous in nature. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You are not polygamous in nature. If you were, at the beginning, God would have created Adam, Eve, and Rebecca. But he didn't do that. He knew that one woman was enough for you. That's why he created Adam and Eve.
So I told him, you have grace for one woman and grace to overcome all women because of that one woman. I said, yeah, I'll say it again. You have grace for what? One woman. And the grace to overcome all other women because of that one woman. You must see life that way. And he was astonished. So I told him at the end, I said, don't see yourself as an Idoma man more than a kingdom man. Before you were Idoma, before you were Yoruba or Igbo or thief, you were from the kingdom of God. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I'd known you. He knew us before we became Idoma and thief and Igede. He knew us. Don't define yourself by where you are coming from. He said, I'm only a so-so man. It is only natural. Who told you that? It's not natural. In fact, what is abnormal is that you are acting that way. The word of God is what is natural, what should be natural to you. Because from the very beginning, you were destined to live in Christ. You were created in his image and what? Likeness. Little wonder the Bible says, in him we are designed to live, breathe, and have our being. But you see, the enemy has come but to what? Steal. To what? Kill and destroy. And how does he do that? Via lies. When he lies to you about yourself, you start misbehaving. My Moreau of blessed memory said, the greatest crisis on the earth is not any crisis in any nation. It's identity crisis. If you don't know who you are, you will live like anybody on the face of the earth. But if you know who you are, you can't live like everybody. The solution against sin is not warning people from sin. It is telling people their true nature. If we tell you who you are, you can't live like who you are not. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You see, when you see people in sin and you are telling them, see, sin will make you to die. Sin, you are just wasting your saliva. That's not what will make people to stop sin. Just tell them who they are. Imagine I come to a goat and say, hey goat, why do you love grass? Say, because I'm a goat. Then I bring a mirror to the goat. And he discovered that he's not goat, he's lion. What happens to him? As long as I'm showing him that mirror every day, something is happening to his nature. All of a sudden, appetite for grass would die. Because he had, you know, remember that movie, Simba, whatsoever. Can you remember? He was living with some animals that I can't even remember their names. Do you know their names, those animals? Huh? Funny animals with a lion. He started behaving like the other animals. Because he was hearing them every day, talking like them every day, playing like them. When he sees lion, even lion is running away from lion. But one day he went to drink water in a cool stream and he saw himself in a mirror. He looked like the person pursuing him. And he ran away, came back again to see. Now he was so sure that he's a lion. Something about his nature started changing. The Bible says the word of God is our mirror. You see, when we look at God's word, we see ourselves. The real us is in God. In him we live, breathe, and have our being. 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we behold the glory of God like a mirror, we are being transformed into that glory. Now that you are hearing the word, something is happening to you. You know, it's one thing to be born again and another thing to be transformed by the word of God. Now you are born again, it doesn't stop there. Romans 12. It said, be renewed. Verse 2. There has to be a renewal of the mind. Why? We just brought you from darkness into light. You need to be aware of this light. And to be conscious of this light. Are you listening to me? Else you'll be talking like the world. You'll be talking like your past. I wish I can get this scripture in the old KJV in Ephesians 4. I think that is Ephesians 4. That said we should not go back to the old conversations. Ephesians what? It said don't go back to the former conversations. Is it Colossians or Ephesians? That says forfeit the former conversation. Just Google it first for me. I want us to read that scripture. That tells us to forfeit the former conversations. Ephesians what? Alright, give me verse 22 of Ephesians. I hope Pastor Key is right. Else you stand up and face church for not knowing the scripture. All right. He's right. Let's read together. I want to go. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Put it off. Wow. If God said put it off, you can put it off. You've got the power to put it off. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said put it off. Tell somebody, put it off. You've got the power. I've got the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of me. Remember that song? I've got the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of me. It's unlimited. Surpasses greatness. It's immeasurable. Surpasses greatness. Is it that he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man? It is former. Put it off. You can't say I'm weak anymore. You are strong in the Lord like Timothy and the power of his might. Listen, you are a supernatural being. Listen to me. Listen. You hail from God. In John 1, he said to you, you are not born again by the decision of your parents anymore. This your new birth is not a function of what daddy and mommy agreed one night and gave birth to you. No. Your new birth is a function of the Holy Ghost. That is why he calls you to be perfect. He said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. How can you dare to be perfect if you are not born again? Is God wicked to tell you to be perfect? He knows the deposit of his glory on your inside. That's why he's demanding perfection from you. Now, if the whole world are saying we can't be perfect, you don't agree with that. You don't agree with that anymore. Because the Bible says you can be perfect. That you put off concerning the former man. All of those old conversations, put them off. Don't talk like that anymore. Remember the children of Israel? They said we are weak, we are finished, and they became a valley of dry bones. It was their confession that made them a valley of dry bones when we're checking that scripture. And God told Ezekiel, come in the spirit and see. Come and see Israel. He asked us, God, why are they like this? He said, because of their conversation. And he said, son of man, what does that think about these dry bones? He said, God Almighty, only you know. Then he says to him, say to the dry bones. As Ezekiel began to speak, things begin to change. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. Our speaking is spiritual. I can't say things like, I'm sick, I'm a sinner, I'm the righteousness of God. That's what I'm supposed to say. He who knew no sin became sin so that I become the righteousness of God. My expectation become different. I don't expect to sin. That's what the believer says. Not we are all sinners, so tomorrow I may sin, or blah, blah, blah. You don't talk like that. You are a supernatural being. See, sin is how Satan kills you, destroys you. Why will it be normal for you to sin? Sin has taken more people to their early grave. Yes. When you smoke, when you drink, when you womanize, you are getting to your grave earlier than you can imagine. And that's why the Bible said the prosperity of a fool destroys him. Are you listening? Righteousness is why you will live a long life. He said, with long life, I will satisfy you. God doesn't want anybody in sin. And that's why 1 John 3 and 9, let's read it together boldly. Boldly, everyone. 1 John 3 and 9. Very fast, media. 1, 2, go. Whoever is born of God doth not commit. Now read it with boldness. Don't be scared. Want to go? Stop there. How many of you are born again? God is not sick in his head when he wrote this part of scripture. He meant it. Whoever is born of God cannot commit sin. Powerful. Because he's not talking to sinners. He's talking to his righteousness. I don't mean that he's condemning sinners. No, you in sin, that's not the actuality of your nature. The real you is not a sinner. The real you is the righteousness of God. You are just in a wrong environment because of wrong identity. You are God's righteousness. If anybody be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are gone. All things are gone. All things are gone. That's what the Bible says. In Christ, your identity is redefined. You are a new creature. God begins to see you from the lenses of the Christ. And if Christ cannot sin, you cannot sin. If Christ cannot walk in poverty, you can walk in poverty. If Christ cannot be sick, you can't be sick. You ought to start speaking according to the new conversation. Forget the old conversation. Your speakings ought to change. And that's why we need mind renewal, mental renewal. That you are not the old man anymore, you are a new man in Christ. 2 Peter 1 said, you have escaped the corruption that is in the world through loss by the understanding of these gracious and wonderful promises. We've escaped. We're not going to escape. You wake up in the morning not trying to escape. You wake up in the morning with the mentality that you have escaped. And the truth will make you free. The truth that you know will make you free. Now, as you are knowing the truth, that's how you enter into freedom. I'm telling you the truth about yourself so that you demand your freedom. You demand your freedom. After the service, you say, from henceforth, in the name of Jesus, I stop walking in sin. From henceforth, in the name of Jesus, I stop that way of life. I stop that way of life. And I command this new way of life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I stop being in lack. I refuse to walk in lack. Is it magic? Will the money be coming anyhow? It can come anyhow. Didn't you hear the testimonies this morning? And we've been hearing many testimonies that way. Firstly, you understand God is your source. There's a boldness. There's a certain kind of holy boldness it gives you. That even though you don't see the money yet, you know the money is around. It's settled. I can't be poor. It's settled. You keep on saying it. You don't allow any situation change your confession. I can't be poor. I'm rich. Now, this determines your dressing. It determines your speech. If you know you can be poor, you don't start asking people for urgent 2K anyhow. You didn't get what I'm trying to say. Because if you can't be poor, you are not a borrower. How can you finish saying, in the name of Jesus, I can't be poor? He said, brother, if you help me with 2,000, I get something sharp to do. No, God is your source. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. The borrowers are not shouting. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. God is my source. The borrower is ever a slave to the lender. That's what the Bible says. In the name of Jesus, God is my source. David says, since I was born again, now growing old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor beg for bread. Then you say, I'm the righteous. I will never be forsaken. I will never beg for bread. All my life. As you say it, you know what God will do? He will spark an idea in your head. A $1 billion idea. That's how he takes you out of poverty. I cannot be poor. I see it. Now you have to have the boldness to start what you just saw. He has just removed you from poverty and your generation by that one idea. Don't wait for people to approve that you should do it. You were praying when you got the idea. Go and start it. Go and start it. Are you listening to me? Don't be scared. Start that idea. He is the one that gives power to make wealth. He doesn't give cash. He gives you ability to bring cash. He wants you to become a money-making machine. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can just be producing cash anyhow. He gives you the ability to reproduce money. That if they take you outside this your current business and put you in a new location, billions can still come because they just took the source of the money. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They change the location of the source of the money. The money can be there in Bayelsa. You are here in Lagos. Even if you start again, you reproduce even more than what is there. That's why I say a blessed man has no location problem. Because the blessing make it rich. You don't wait for money to come before you say I'm blessed. You are blessed to produce money. The blessing make it rich and add no sorrows. I mean, you are sound in health. That's what it means for to be blessed. You don't have any problem. No issue in your family. None of your child is sick. That's what we call a blessing. Everything around you is perfect. Staging a young man in Lagos, his mom was sick and I said to him, you are a blessed man, get your mom well. He said, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I said, lay hands on the sick, the Bible said, and they will recover. Is that what the Bible said? Yes, lay hands on, you know, you can't have problem as a blessed man around you. It's not possible. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still water, restores my soul. Now, a part of it said, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I refuse to fear any evil. He said, because thou art with me. Then he says, thy staff and thy rod, they comfort me. What is the staff and rod there? It is a scepter of authority for David. And in the New Testament, that scepter of authority is the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? In that name, we have boldness. In that name, there's security. There's no fear in that name. It's settled in your mind. Your business must work. You have no fear whether it will work or not. It's settled. It's established in your heart. That is why you don't wake up any morning and wonder whether you should close the business. No, it can't close. Because you are a blessed man. You are a blessed woman. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It can only make progress. Whether you saw no customer yesterday, you have no doubt in your heart. You know the nations are coming to your business. You don't just wish it, you command it. You command it. Oh, glory to God. Because you know, Satan is scared of the kind of money you are supposed to make. He knows you. That if you make $1 billion, the work of God will make progress. That's why he will try to limit you. You tell him, get off my finances. And in the name of Jesus, men and women from certain nations start coming to my business. In the name of Jesus, as you speak it like magic. How can we trust what Satan can do for people's business more than what God can do? They say, why is that business prosperity? They say, the man has shed blood. Do you know the blood that has been shed for you? It is not human blood. It is the blood of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He shed his blood for you, and you are scared of people that use human blood for their business? They are just joking. They don't understand it. That's counterfeit. The blood involved in our own business is greater than any blood. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You speak from that certain holy boldness, that certain understanding. Because faith cometh by hearing the word. Now you've heard God's word. Boldness rise. I'm not scared of sin again. I just heard God's word. I just saw in the Bible that I can live above sin. Boldness should rise. In the name of Jesus. I can resist any evil because I'm born again. That's how you talk. That's how you talk. You know, I was in a wedding many years ago in a certain local government in Benue State here. And as we sat in the minister's seat, the person preaching, he said something that blew my mind. I never knew in that kind of place we should have somebody like that serve. But God is gracious. He said, let me tell you, couples, what will make you to live in peace is not the fact that you are the most beautiful woman and is the most handsome man. That's no guarantee you not cheating. He said, the reason why you will not cheat is because by the understanding of God's gracious and wonderful promises, you've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust and are partakers of God's divine nature. He said, that way you'll be faithful to your wife and you'll be faithful to your husband. My mind was blown. I said, wow, God is working everywhere. Why will you not cheat on your wife? Not because she's fine. If you like, go and marry the most finest woman in this world, you will cheat on her. If you don't know God, it will be normal. That is why you see many ladies, and ladies, let me help your mind. Many ladies today, they don't believe any man can be faithful, including me preaching, and they feel like I'm just making out. They don't believe any person can be faithful. Have you heard women say this thing before? All men are what? They don't believe it. He's just waiting for the right opportunity to explore cheating. Like a video I saw on Facebook, a lady was celebrating her husband. They were very celebrating her husband, and she did a cake for him in a one room. So she did a cake because the man is really hardworking, and the man started crying when he saw the cake. You know, he was wondering, why do you need to stress yourself? We don't have money. And she did the video and it got to Facebook. And people were like, wow, such a wonderful woman. I wish God can raise more women like this. One lady just came from nowhere and entered the comment section and said, see how he's crying like he will not cheat. That broke my heart. That see how the man is crying like he will not cheat one day. So she was already setting. That lady now, if you check her, she has strong reasons why she's saying that thing. They've cheated on her well. You know what they say? Breakfast. She has received good breakfast. Many women talking like this, they've cheated on them. A lady of 20 years saying men has come. She has dated probably 5 men. All cheated on her.
Now she has come to the realization that all men are scum, except their daddy most times. Hallelujah to Jesus. Ladies, calm down. God still have men. Men, tell women around you this before we close. Want to go? Tell them God said, don't, are you ashamed? Will you cheat? Turn and tell her. You are doubting whether you cheat. If a man will not tell you that, he's doubting himself. Men, turn to women around you. Say, God still have men. I am one of them. Say it to them. Don't be consider me. God still have men. Don't give up. Don't give up. And some men too, they've broken your heart. If you hear some men, when you start talking about women, they just front their face. I've seen people like that. Say relationship. See, let me tell you, these women are pretenders. How can you say women are pretenders? See, they're just pretending. All of them are the same. Opportunists. Nothing ever satisfied them. He's talking about more than 1 billion women on the earth, calling all of them pretenders because like two have showed him shaggy. Men, calm down. That a marker disappoints you does not mean that. That any will disappoint you. Calm down. God still have women. See, before I married my wife, I didn't believe there were women like that. I'm not joking. See, I'm not trying to hype that woman. I'm being 100% sincere. Some of you know some of our stories. Before I married my wife, I used to suspect women like some of you men here. When you come close to me, I'll start telling you how I don't have anything to give you. I'll just start bringing conversation. See, it's just offering they used to give in church. And my share of the offering sometimes is just 1,000. Don't think pastors. You know, we used to think pastors used to chop offering. I'll just be bringing conversation so that you will know that you don't belong here. And if you're thinking offering money will be used to buy your week, then you should go back. I always try to. You know, my church ladies are here. One of the strike, they were very shocked, I'm sure. From the beginning of Glory Carriers, pastor doesn't chat with anybody. Pastor does not have any business with anybody. They were wondering. I was scared. I felt like I didn't have money. Why should I start talking to a fine girl when I don't have money? What will I give her? Eternal life. Eh? Okay. But you see, he said eternal life. You hear ladies who say, my eternal life, I go chop. Alright, finally, when I was in a vision one night, in I think 300 level, getting to 400 level, when my eyes were open in a vision and I saw my wife, I saw her push following me and saying she wants to do ministry with me. So I was in the vision, I was telling her, don't follow me, I don't have money, I'm serious. I said I don't have money, and you will suffer, I told her you suffer, and she said I will suffer with you. When I woke up from the vision, my friend was by the side of the bed. I didn't tell him because he's a crazy person. If I told him that vision would have died. Because he's so jovial. He would just tell me, you don't know what you're saying, just sleep. So I kept it to myself for more than 2 months. When I come to church and look at her, my heart would just skip. When I say read scripture, if she wants to read, I will turn my face like this. Because in my heart, I'm like, let it not be that something is happening in my heart. That's why I'm having visions. And funny enough, innocently, she wanted to be close to me. After church, she called, Pastor Simon, sir. What up, sir? I enjoyed the word, sir, with one of our friends. And they would just be playing. And when I'm trying to go, they'll be cracking joke. In fact, at that time, I was in another relationship. I just left it. Hi, is mama. They will not call her name. I hope she's doing fine. When will she come to Makodi? Innocently. You know, if she was liking me, she would not be asking. But some ladies are saying, Pastor, you still don't know. It's still strategy. But I knew her heart was pure. The day I told her, you are my wife, I didn't know how to say it. I said, I think we can marry. I think God wants us to marry. She said, Pastor, are you joking? I said, no, I think I'm joking. I said, but go and pray about it. By adventure, it's true. I said, Pastor Simon, I don't understand this joke. I said, even me too. But just go and pray. So she went back home. The nun said she's crying in the hostel. I said, why are you crying? She said, I told her something that's
making her scared. And I called for a meeting. I said, okay, whatever I've told you, forget about it. I was probably joking. You know, I joke a lot. She now went back and started crying even more. And after a while, when I was settled in my spirit that I should enter, I now told her, I said, I want to enter, but before I enter, I don't have money. I can't give you any money. I see you like somebody that have money. I don't have money. The only thing is that I will serve Jesus. I will love you very well. I have love. And I will not cheat on you. She said, no, I'm not here for your money or anything. I'm here because I know God wants me to be here. I said, are you serious? She said, yes. And we started a relationship. My goodness. One of the bad days, we went to sit down at Star Shawarma. We were in this venue years ago, like 4 years, 3 years ago. We sat down at Star Shawarma. We admired the place. We stood up and went back home. After church, sat down there. Pastor, what are we doing here? I said, nothing. So that you know that I'll be bringing you to places like this in the future. We can go back home. Now, this is true life story. I'm not lying to anybody in this place. We did not eat anything. She went back home. I said, I hope you had a great day. She said, this is my best birthday. I said, this one is just lies. It's lies. It's lies. And this is how she has been she has been supporting. You all know what she has been doing in this ministry. The sacrifices and etc. Even to a point, I don't like saying this, but let me just say it. Go and do masters outside the country. Say, no, I want to get married. Now, of course, I'm not the one to pay. I didn't have money. I said, even me and I asked her, you will not go and do masters. She said, no, if I go and do masters, you may forget about me. So, I think God wants us to get married first. I said, no, I will not forget about you. I will wait for you. He said, let me marry first. I said, okay. Okay. This love is strong. God still have women like my wife. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Some of you are feeling one kind. Look at the jealousy in one beauty. God have women. Are you people listening to me in this church, man? I'll end with this. God have wonderful souls on the end. Many of them. Some of them you may be seated beside them. Some of them are the ones you have been looking in church probably. God has wonderful people in the church. In the world. Are you listening to me? Let me add this. It will be hard to find them in the world. It is easier to find them in the church. I know some of you think church don't have 100% perfect people. I know. But at least we may have 70%. But if you go to the world, you will not find anybody in the world. Let me be warning you. It's in the church. You may not find 100, but you may find what? 70%. And I think these are the 70% I'm seeing. The remaining 30% are not in service today. Hallelujah to Jesus. Have you been so blessed this morning? So we've learned beautiful things, and we took time because of the rain. But you see, go back home knowing that you can live above sin. Go back home knowing that you can live above cheating. Are you listening to me? Go back home knowing that you can live above poverty, any form of lack. In fact, I see billionaires rising from this place. Beyond the salary federal government is giving you, God will make you a billionaire. That idea in your heart, listen to me carefully, that you are scared of starting, go and start it. If all the great men, the wealthy men in this world, never dare to start their idea, you will not be celebrating them today. Go back. This idea, some of you thought of something in this service, go and start it. I'm telling you, that will spark you into billionaireship. Are you listening to me? Have the impetus to start it. If it's a skill, learn it. Start now. Bow your heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise. Thank you for the entrance of your word. We know it giveth light and understanding to the simple. As we've heard your word, shape our heart by this understanding of the word we've heard. Cause us to see a new day by your word. To begin to live according to your word. Our past is gone forever. We are now in the future of your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.